Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Have you ever known somebody that was not trustworthy? Of course you have. When I asked that question, most of you in here, your mind went to a name or a face. Somebody that you couldn't trust. Somebody who would promise you something time and time and time and time again, and you just knew that what they were saying was just baloney. It didn't mean anything because you couldn't trust them. This is the old adage when somebody says, you know, when you can tell he's lying, you're like, yeah, his lips are moving, right? You can't trust anything they're saying because they don't follow through on any promise that they make. I want to tell you today, people, and that's what we are, humans, we're sinful. People are disappointing. People are fallible. That means we're prone to mess up. But I want to say this in a very clear way. There's one being, one person in this universe who never has messed up. He's not broken. He's not fallible. And every single thing he says, you can take to the bank. And that's the Lord. And I love what Paul is saying here, that the Holy Spirit is saying through the Apostle Paul. Notice what he says in verse 17. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness or the things that I purpose? Do I purpose according to the flesh? That with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay. In other words, Paul is saying, I want you to know, Corinthian church, that the things that I've said to you and written to you, I've not been wishy-washy about. I've not changed my tune. I've not changed my mind. I've not changed my word. My message to you has been consistent. Now keep going, verse 18. But as God is true, brother, circle that in your Bible. I'm glad God is true. As God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. Again, yes and no, yes and no, yes and no, back and forth, back and forth. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus or Silas, and Timotheus, or Timothy, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, Paul said that the Jesus we preached was not yea and nay, but in him was yea or yes. Jesus isn't wishy-washy. Jesus is not unstable. Jesus is not unsettled. Jesus is dependable. 1,000,000,000%. You can depend on what Jesus says, the words of Jesus, the promises of Jesus. Verse 21, verse 20, for all the promises of God. I love the word all, not some, not 50-50, not most. All the promises of God in him, in who? In Jesus, in Christ Jesus are yea. In other words, they're certain. Any promise that God ever issued in his word in the life of the believer in Christ Jesus, because of Christ Jesus, because of the perfecting work of Christ Jesus in our lives, every single promise that's ever been made, given to us by our Father, are going to be fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. All the promises of God in him are yea, yes, and in him, amen. And that word amen, I like the word amen. But okay, all right. You don't scare me by saying amen. Yeah, that's a good word. You know what it means? It's not just an appropriate word at the end of a prayer. It's not an empty word. It means something. Here's what it means. It means it is so. Let it be. I like this word. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why when we pray, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're saying in Jesus' name. Absolutely. It's certain. It's settled. And the Apostle Paul says, hey, in Christ Jesus, everything that he promises is settled unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establisheth us. He which, I like the word, it literally means to settle. He that settles us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who hath sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. I want you to know this morning as we close, I want you to get ready. Let's get ready to pray. God's promises are for you. You remember the little children's song? Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Oh, the glory of his word divine. Every promise in the book is mine, mine, mine. And they're yours. The promise that he's made, the promises of God, he wants us to accept them as true because they are. We live in a world where you have to question everything. And I believe that. You know, truth is, sad to say, very few things even that I read and hear about in the media, it's hard to believe it. I question it. I've got to verify it. I want you to know something, though. I have put this book to the test, and it passes with flying colors. I've put the promises of God to the test, and he has never failed. I have failed. My body has failed. Circumstances have failed. Other people have failed. But his promises have never failed. Accept those promises today as true. But not only accept it, brothers and sisters, if you walk out of here today and intellectually you say, well, I know, I believe the Lord. I believe what he says is true. But if you never appropriate his promises, if you never apply those promises, it's not just enough to accept it as true. He says, all right, I want you to appropriate it in your life. So what promise do you need today to appropriate, to apply? Maybe for some this morning, it's the promise that he will save you from your sins. All morning long, we've been hearing about Jesus and him paying the sacrifice for us, him going to the cross, shedding his blood, giving his life, dying on the cross. Why did he do that? Well, you know this. He did that for our sins because you and I, as we are, we can't make it to heaven because of our sins and our unrighteousness. Not in our own effort. Not in our own condition. We read this morning, Caden read Ephesians chapter 2. You were dead. You, all of us, were dead in trespasses and sins. We were destined for an eternity separated from God in a place called hell, ultimately the lake of fire. Oh, but glory to the Lamb of God who took our place, and he took your place, beloved. You see, he doesn't want you to die lost without him and to spend an eternity in hell. His death was a substitute for you and your life. And by faith, when you come to him and repent of your sins and trust him as Savior, say, Lord, just as I am, I come just as I am. And just as I am, by faith, I believe you. I trust you. I turn from my sins. I turn from my unrighteousness. I turn from my self-righteousness. I turn from my unbelief. I turn from trusting in anything other than you Baptism. I love watching people get baptized, but baptism doesn't save anybody. I tell the people when they get baptized right up here in that little room, I say, now, I want you to look at that water right there, and I want you to understand this. That water doesn't do anything to take your sins away because the blood of Jesus already has done that. That water doesn't wash away sins. Church membership doesn't wash away sins. We're talking about giving an offering this morning. Do you know giving an offering won't wash away your sins? Being a good person, we can't. Isaiah says, I read it recently, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags compared to the righteousness of Jesus. Will you today, there are no accidents with Jesus, will you by faith accept his free gift of salvation and say yes to that promise to save you? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men and women, that is a promise from King Jesus to you. Maybe today it's the promise to apply to your life, the promise that he'll save you. It could be, maybe, that the promise you need to appropriate today is his promise to strengthen you and establish you. All of us in this room battle the world, the flesh, and the devil. How are we doing in that battle? Where are we at in that battle? I'm afraid some of us sometimes are left wounded on the battlefield, dragging ourselves around, going the wrong direction. You say, Christian, is there hope? Oh, brother and sister, absolutely. Paul said it right here. He said, God wants to establish you, strengthen you. What do you need his power for today? What do you need victory for today? What area is the enemy just hammering you over? And you need an extra anointing of God. He says it right here. The anointing of God. You need his power. You and I can't win this spiritual battle in our own flesh, in our own strength. Maybe today that's the promise you need to appropriate. And then he even mentions it right here. Maybe today the promise you need to apply to your life right now this morning is his promise to sustain you, to keep you, to hold you, and to bring you through to the other side. Safe in his hands, safe and secure. And while the storm may rage around you, thank God the storm doesn't have to rage inside of you. And the waves can be battering your ship. I love when Jesus, in the Gospels, the storm was raging all around those disciples. And remember what Jesus was doing? He was asleep in the boat. He was at perfect peace. He wasn't restless or unsettled. Why? Because he had it all under control. I want to tell you something today. Some of you dear ones are facing cancer, sickness, financial reversal, relational conflict and trouble. Sometimes even the aging process brings uncertainty and you find it difficult to navigate through. Some of you are dealing with aging parents or a spouse with declining health. Some of you are dealing with situations and you are literally at your wit's end. You do not know what next step to take in your life. And I want to tell you this morning that God has promised you perfect peace, perfect grace, perfect strength to make it through. That's his promise to you. You say, well, I believe that. I believe that. Oh, I'm glad you believe it. But will you apply it today to your life? Let him help you. Let him be real in your situation. This morning, will you bow for prayer with me this today? His promises are for you. Let those promises become real in your life.